John Wayne Ryan, beginning of the visit, the first visit with Everett Smith, this Sunday afternoon around 5 o'clock, the 28th of March, 1971. Channel 1, right? Everett Smith.
Another thing, I don't follow this, but the city doesn't either.
Is that right?
We catch people, he's legal, and I'm a Sunday school teacher.
Well, I don't know.
But we just never was raised, you know, to take the sociable drinks and drink. I don't have any objection to people doing it, but a number of them, you know, do it. But,
yeah. Well, I know that.
I don't care for it. I have a brother now. He'll take a social drink. He went to the States.
Oh.
But I never did bother. Like when I was school, I drank a little and started drinking a little beer. Then I said that wasn't any good, and I quit that.
Yeah.
Then I started drinking a little wine, and that led, you know, this slow gin, I believe, came out. And I got sick on that with a party one night with some people, and I said, I'm leaving it all. Then I quit the beer, quit the wine, and that's been good many years ago, because I'm older than you are, right, Ed? I imagine probably older than you are. Well, maybe older than you are. You don't look to be any older than I am.
Well, I tell you, you can't tell.
See, I need a little something.
Yeah, we're going to get some coffee.
Let me tell you, I...
He's a coffee maker.
I'm... Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Now, you can see I'm put for fun. Well, I don't have any stress at all with Pangola. Mm-hmm. And I've been aiming to put in some, and I just haven't got around to it. Now, how you handle your Pangola? You graze it?
Yes, sir. Graze it, and I did try to mow, but this country, in other words, like the man, Whitehurst boy, wrote in the article, you take any farm magazine?
Yeah.
Whitehurst, one of the biggest feedlot men, you know, is in the southeast.
Yeah.
Well, he had an article, and he's right. In other words, he says that this country is getting to be a cattle, you know, state, and it's growing.
Yeah.
But now then, with the value of real estate and land as high as it's getting, why a man that's ordinary means, like I suppose you are and I am, we working for a living, and we don't make no $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't, you don't. In other words, all my jobs are yelling. In other words, well, we in the kind of the between the low and the middle class. We making more in the labor, of course.
Yeah.
But we got to grow into it, just like you said.
Yeah.
But you can't start out here and buy, you know, some of these 10, as I told you a minute ago, $10,000 bull to put with these cows. You ought to get a bit of calf.
Yeah.
Or you take your calf crop for 2 years, knowing you couldn't stand it, taking care of your cows and having to give them a little hay and maybe a little pellet.
Yeah.
To run them through the winter. And you can't do it. In fact, in this grass situation of sowing this grass, it's going to take $500, $600 for me to get that grass field in. I just cut it. And I'm going to line it, in other words, before I get started, check the pH or get the county agents. Ed Rowan had it checked for me. They'll do it free of charge. Of course, I could do it too, carry it out there at the university where I finished school in '35.
Yeah.
But they'll do it for, you know, nothing for you and see, you know, what the pH is and what I need, dolomite, I need 2 tons of lime or what I need.
Yeah.
Then I'm going in there and, you know, put that application. Then I'm going to sow it in Pangola grass and cut it in. You mow it green. And you scatter it on the back of your tractor in a wagon, a hay wagon.
Yeah.
Or either you can take a big truck. I have sold a lot of it with Cockle up yonder. It's retired here, and he's in the horse business now. Of course, his wife knows it. She doesn't have to worry about it. They get $20,000 or $40,000 a year royalties from Oklahoma oil well, you know, in Oklahoma. His wife does it.
Well,
so that's enough for them to live on, though, not counting his little social security and stuff that they make. And he wins a little money out of these horses once in a while, these races. He did have 3 or 4 of them. Cost him money to keep them, and he didn't want to spend that.
Yeah.
We got to pay that jockey, in other words, a percentage, you know, take care of him and keep him trained.
Yeah.
So he got out of the business, in other words, except he got 2, but he's run down at Hialeah and down at this other racetrack. And once in a while, I don't know anything about the operation of horse farm, but that's a gambling operation. I don't do any of that. But he called it in the money. You know what in the money is? I don't know what it is, myself. You may not know either. Anyway, He made, you know, a little money, $10,000 or $20,000 pop once in a while.
Yeah.
And of course he likes it, knowing his wife does too. But he's had a heart attack, you know, and he's not doing too well. He's not too much older than I am either. I'd say he's probably 65. I'm 60. You're about 60, aren't you?
Yeah.
I figured you're close to 60. And I'm telling your wife, you know, but I'm letting that, maybe I'm a little older than she is. I figured she's between around 55, I'd say.
Well, you don't look 60.
Well,
you're not 60?
I'm 60 years old.
I'd have said you're closer to 50.
Well, that's what a number of them say, but Willie Chitty, he's 50, I think, around 50 a little better.
Yeah.
Willie's health has been bad the last couple of 2 years, and he got out of that carpenter work, and I got Willie his job he's got now with the university.
Oh?
Yes, I got it for him. So he can tell me, in other words, and I worked up there a while, but I couldn't get back, and I committed myself to another man, and after committing myself, I'm not like the people are now. It used to be in our younger days, while your word was good as your bond.
Yeah.
But now then, the word isn't any good to anybody. People will get you, in other words, before you know it.
Now that's the thing.
Isn't that right? If I just saying that man got to be alert now, and if you don't, you'll be caught, in other words, in any operation or deal that you go into.
Yeah.
You'll get caught. But Willie said his health was bad. He had that skin cancer, and he lost a lot of weight, and he wanted something, and so I gave the job to him. I swapped spoon. I used the wrong one in the sugar. I just swapped both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Willie said he needed something that his wife working, and he's, you know, like I am. He got a few cows, and he's making 90% of his money, you know, working out, because he's got some land, but he doesn't have any pasture. Willie doesn't. He got some timber land. He got enough timber knows where he could, you know, get in pretty good shape. And I told him he ought to sell a block, you know, 100 acres or so of that land and go to improving a little bit, using the money to set it back, you know, into that land, that business.
What do you say?
Willie's 50. I think Willie's 50 or 52 years old.
Yeah.
Or did I tell your wife and other? My daddy, he worked for my daddy when he was a young boy, and he worked for my daddy when he went into service. And kept me out of service because my brother and I, we were big farmers. We had, he and I were renting about 400 or 500 acres of land and had 3 or 4 tractors and about 5 mules, I think. And the sharecroppers we had, they had mules, and we were planting, you know, 100 acres of beans and 100 acres of tomatoes, 40, 50 acres of eggplants like these Richardson boys, and we'd have, you know, 50 acres of squash. How long you been here? You been here? That's been a good long time ago. You
yeah.
came after that big operation. Richardson them wasn't farming when you come here, wasn't it?
No, they were just
getting out, wasn't it?
Getting out. Right. They were just about out. They had eggplant and one thing.
That's right.
I mean, squash and one thing.
But they had cabbage and they'd plant a lot of this stuff. But we found out that fertilizer and a crate and everybody else were making a living and labor. But we had our own packing shed and it got to the point there, in other words, where I was a bookkeeper, because I had the education, and they were making more money than we were,
yeah.
according to the record.
Well,
now, what I paid those people, you know, $1,200 to $1,500, is we used 3 or 4 of them and wound up, well, that's all the money we had. And we didn't have anything for the wear and tear on the equipment. I'm tractor, in other words. We had to raise stuff to feed the mules, the one that we had, and the crab proper. We had to advance them money in order to take care of that until the crop was made, then we'd take it out of that part of the crop. So we just got out. My brother, know it. He stayed another year in the watermelon business, and I said, no, I'll tell you what. We got the equipment I have. The equipment was in my name. He didn't own any equipment, and I still have the equipment, most of it. I sold one of the tractors. I got 2 of them. I said, I'll make the crop, then I'll help you harvest it, and you just pay me a normal wage, and I'll still, you know, get started with a few cows. And the deer, that's when I had a falling out down there. You're talking about we had a agreement. We didn't have a contract, but Miss Cocker was a bookkeeper. And I held them to the fire, and they didn't make any money. My brother, you know, he had Billy Brown. They rented, you know, 100 acres down there with Billy Brown. You know Billy Brown, old man Brown's boy. 100 acres from him, and they had 50 acres out here and squash out here on this other old road, you know, going right by Hickman Road. If you know where the Hickman Road is. Brown owns the property out there. And that's where he had the squash. And that's where I was hauling the squash from. And they got two. He owed me up, and he owed me about $700-$800. And he didn't make any money. Then he wanted me to, you know, to cut the price, you know.
Yeah.
Me to not just get enough to pay my gas expenses, and me not get anything, you see, for my work and the wear and tear on my truck hauling produce to the shed down there.
Yeah.
I said, no. I said,
now, who was that? Your brother?
No, Mr. Duncan. My brother was working in the packing house for him. And I had the labor and the cracking, and I hauled the truck and hauled it to him.
Yeah.
And my brother, why, he wasn't.
But you weren't in on the crop.
No, I wasn't in on the crop. I was getting paid, you know,
you
for my work.
You just doing it for wages.
Wages is right. Then they didn't want to pay me, then that's when we had a falling out, and I told Miss Cochran, in other words, that when she was going to write the check and he was going to sign the check, see. And I said, that's not the agreement. We made an oral agreement, and I said, I'm like my granddaddy that I named after. Make an agreement, I'm going to keep that agreement. That's your bond, see. And I said, I'm expecting my money. I can't help if y'all didn't make any money. Now, if you'd have made a lot of money, why, it'd have been your place. You could have not given me nothing if you wanted to. Just like a friend of mine had been working doing his taters over yonder. He can give me a bonus or not give me one. I couldn't demand a bonus. And I didn't work for him to expect a bonus. Because $150 a week and him giving me a expense account and feeding me while I was over there. I'd come home every weekend from Hastings and he'd pay for the gasoline. I'd use my own equipment. And sometimes I'd use his automobile to come home in because I'd sold my car back in during the stamp time. You know, I had a couple of cars. But I had to use a little bit of the air stamp, you know, what I had for the gas tractors and the irrigation motor, in other words, to pull in there once in a while. Everybody did it. You had to do it, in other words, if you remember those days.
Oh, do I? Yeah.
So I says, I'm going to go into that. Then that's when my brother said, well, he's going to continue on working, you know, with this Duncan, in other words. And he got through with Duncan and he worked for her. And I have a first cousin that's working with her. He's been with him for about 20 years. And he and I came back from Tampa. That's a Whittington boy.
Yeah.
You know Whittington?
Yeah.
Well, he's the first cousin of mine.
Yeah.
Dick. Richard.
Yeah.
And Dick is still with him. Of course, Dick is one of the right-hand men. He's in the office, and he knows the business I reckon that's good, or maybe better than Buddy.
Yeah. How long has he been with him?
About, I'd say 20 years.
That long?
Maybe more. Yeah. Let's see. That was in 40. I'll tell you when it was, and he started with him. About 49. So you can figure it out. That's that's yet about 30 years.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. He sold his farm. You know, like that Maxis?
Yeah.
Right across the road there. You were talking to Nixon.
Yeah.
That was Dick's, my aunt's and Dick's farm after his daddy died. Dick inherited that, 700 acres.
Where?
Where you and Maxis live, you know what you're talking about? Right across the road. 700 acres.
Over where we were looking at.
Yeah.
Across the road.
That's
yeah.
right, from Maxie. That was Dick's farm. Yeah. And he sold out for this same Duncan. And Duncan had wanted it within the produce, still in the produce down at Canal Point in South Florida.
Well, now, I'd never heard of Duncan.
But he stayed here. Duncan stayed here about 2 years.
Oh.
Then the business went to haywire, the vegetable farm, in other words. All of it. People got out.
He wasn't here long.
No, he went back down there where they raised the vegetables on a large scale down that time. Canal Point and Pompano.
Now, did you come out finally with...
Miss Copper went on and wrote the check, and I carried over after him to sign it. But he's a little hesitant about it because he's a younger man now. And he endorsed the check. And that was all the business dealing I had with him, period.
And you haven't had any sense?
Haven't had any sense. He went out of business, and my brother got out. He'd done the same thing with him, as I say, in other words. My brother's working on a salary, we're going to get a commission, and they're getting commission from the farmer to a broker for handling the stuff. See? But that was figured all in the pot. It's like you working for a man. I know my niece's husband in Jacksonville working for a man, and he promised him a certain percentage of the net profits, in other words.
Yeah.
But the way he got out of it is this boy said, I said, well, they can do it. They got a way of beating him. Instead of him showing any profit net, he turned around and reinvested in inventory.
Yeah.
See? And he was still getting all he was getting in $90 a week.
Yeah.
And he's raising the family too. He had a boy, you know, in school, and his wife was having to work at the Barnett National Bank, one of the largest banks in Jacksonville, to make ends meet. Well, he's a poor boy. He's paying for his home. He bought a home, you know, on this GI Bill of Rights, and it was about $20,000.
Yeah.
And he's had to make them payments, and he had a long time to pay for it, but the interest and principal both didn't amount to money. So she had to go back to work, and the niece did. She'd had some banking experience. So she used to tell her the Barnett National.
Yeah.
And the girl is still working. She told me the other day, said, Uncle Emmett, say, you remember you nicknamed my brother, oldest brother, 40, when he was 40 years old. I said, yeah. And she grabbed me around the neck, you know, and said, I'm 40.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't believe it. She said, yeah, my son here, he just graduated. And I was going to let him go to school, but he said he's going to let Uncle Sam get him and finish his hitch. Then he decided about his schooling. So he's working for the city of Jacksonville in the utility department until Uncle Sam called him. But he just graduated, and he's 18 years old and done registered, so they may, if they don't end this war, in other words, well, they probably call him in other words, those kind of boys. But they may do away with the draft. No, well, you hear all kind of talk. I know you get all the news, but you can't tell what they're going to do.
And then they'll put him through school.
And they'll put him, that's what I told him. You apply yourself, or they'll put you through school, boy. But he's a wonderful boy. He, always thought a lot of me. He wrecked the car. He had a little Wildcat Buick. I don't know. What is that, you, Redmond, you have? That's a Mercury. What is that?
That's a Chrysler.
But this was one of the little Wildcat Buicks, in other words. And at the expressway, his other man's fault, in other words, why they cut in on him and stripped the back tend off of it. And you know how it is, why he said it was only $300, of course, they won't pay for it. But it upset him a little. I said, well, I says, did the market like? He said, yeah, that's part of them life.
Yeah.
And he said, my insurance is going up, Uncle Everett. Said, I use the car. Mama let me use it to go to work in.
Yeah.
And he used the company. The boy is working for my brother. His daddy is working for my brother, which that's his pa-in-law, in other words. My brother's in the business in Jackman, in the seed business. One of my brothers, Seed Smith, got two businesses. And he's ready to retire. Now, wasn't he going to let them boys, you know, take over and just pay him, you know? He said, David, I think I can make out that I'm going to get about $10,000 a year out of the business from the boys and just let them have it, and I'm going to go on the Social Security. And said, I think my wife and I can live. I said, well, if you can't, well, you better come on out there, and I'll feed you a little beef, you know, that I kill, you know, a year and every once in a while.
Do you butcher some every
Yes, night? I butcher my own beef and butcher my sister-in-law's and the kin folks. Well, that same boy, he got a quarter of one of the good years and I let him have.
Yeah.
When he came down and got it, and that's when he hunted a few birds.
Yeah.
I had 25 acres of corn, and
he
chewed a lot of shells, you know, with them birds, but he enjoyed it, and his daddy was getting after him. I said, well, remember, you did the same thing, because you came down there with Taylor and the other boy, one that I nicknamed 40, his wife's brother, older brother.
Yeah.
And I said, both of you boys, I'd see you, and you got into a covey of quail at the house, in front of the house, and said, y'all shot 15 times, and I went out to see what kind of luck you had, and you hadn't cut a feather. 15 times. And I said, let me have your gun. Is it the gun or you? He said, well, I don't know. My gun's a pretty good gun. Well, it was different than what I used, an automatic. It was a pump gun. And I've been used to automatic and a double barrel, L.C. Smith. And I said, where'd the bird go? He said, the dog is following them on. I said, they on up there. And I said, let me see the gun here, man. I'll be able to kill a bird or two. And he let me have it. I walked on up there with him, you know, and he didn't have a gun. Finn had his gun, though. And I think he had a pump gun, too. And the bird got up there about 12, 15 in the cover, in other words. And I killed a couple on the rise. And he said he looked like I wounded the third one. But he only shoot three times. And he said, Uncle Larry, say, you put it on, don't you? I said, you got to put it on him to kill one. If you just shoot, you ain't going to kill nothing.
Yeah.
And I said, that's what you boys are doing. And now, and you telling this boy he got to put the gun on the bird and kill a bird when he shoots? I said, he got to shoot a few boxes of shell to learn how to lead them and how to do it.
Yeah.
I can't tell him, in other words.
Yeah.
Then he said, well, how are you on skeet shooting? I said, I never bothered that. And he said, well, Adam, and a boy named Adam said, Adam, throw up empty shell and see if you can hit it. He threw it up, you know, and I hit the thing twice before it come down.
Yeah.
And I said, there's nothing wrong with this gun, it's all right. He's shooting on the And I said, it's in you. And now you want that boy to kill something. And he wanted to shoot a squirrel, and I told him, all right, well, the squirrel was running. And he missed him the first time, but he killed him the next time, made him feel good, you know, 17-year-old boy. And his daddy bought him a new gun and gave the boy the older gun.
Yeah.
Well, the boy didn't say anything about that, because he was proud to get a shotgun, in other words, of his own, see?
Yeah.
But I said, that's what you have to do. You got to raise these boys like you raised up. Take a little more interest in it. I said, he'll learn how to shoot after a while.
Yeah. Well, but, now, go ahead and take a drink. All right. Now, your brother over there, where you live?
He's the one working with the state. He's the one that worked for Duncan and worked for Huff.
Yeah.
And he worked down at Charlie John Palmer for a while. And John thought he was doing well, but it wasn't anything. And I told him, I said, John thinks he's setting the world afire. I'm paying you $60 a week. But I said, you working 6 hours, you're not making $1 an hour. And I said, you can do that at any of these filling stations. Some of them get up, you know, 75, got up to $2 an hour after you stay there for a while, in other words.
Yeah.
And I said, you're not doing anything. He said, no, I'm not. So that's when he put in his application, you know, for the job with the state, you know, and got Buddy and Dick, you know, to help him out with you got to know someone now in politics to get one of these state jobs.
Yeah.
That's the way I got on with the university up there last year and the year before last. I went up there and worked, as you say, I'm not an expert, but you asked me a little advice on cattle, and I worked with an animal scientist, Dr. Cunha.
Oh, you did?
Yes, sir, last year, and they called me back. But the department Willie then with a different job. But after you get on base, in other words, you know what I mean, these government jobs,
yeah.
these state jobs, you have a little opportunity to get in. So they're hiring people all the time. But you got to be know somebody to get in the line.
Well, how much politics does it take to get in, I think?
Well, you got to know someone and know, in other words, who to get in with. And I told Willie, in other words, and I said, Willie, this job I was working up on Smith, and I went by there one morning on the way to work, but I was 20 minutes late. But I said, it won't matter, I've worked more. And I said, he's not going to say to me, if he does, I can tell him right quick, he's got to have me. I'm feeling out important, in other words. But I told him once before, like I told, you know, W. Christian down here. I said, you asked me to take the job of running this packing house. And I said, I'm going to run it for you and also for the benefit of the farmer, because we're depending on these farmers to bring the business into it, not carry it to Huff or some other packing company, Delma Pond and... Well, there's several different ones up here in Hague, you know, in La Crosse, they had people carried the beans and stuff. There's little Freddie Wood, you know him?
Yeah.
He hauled stuff up there even.
Oh, way up there?
Yeah.
Because
they get a little more money. And they had an auction market, you know, right there in Gainesville. It's an old stockyard. Freddie pull in there and they'd bid on it, and you'd get your cash money. You wouldn't get a check, you'd get the cash. Just like a racetrack.
Yeah.
And Freddie carried that, and a lot of people did. But I told him, and I went there, and when he made me mad, I said, I had a Dodge pickup then. I says, I'm getting this pickup, and I'm going to go back to the house. I said, I'm going to make a living. And I said, look after Mother and Dad. Both of them were living in, Mother and Dad. Dad retired, and he was a finished carpenter, my dad was. And he wanted to be doing something, just like my older brother. There's three of them that's able to retire. There's five boys and one girl. I lost my sister last year. Mrs. Shiraz in Macon.
Oh, is that your sister?
Did you know her?
Oh, I thought a lot of her.
Well, that's the only sister that I have.
Yeah.
She's next to the oldest, and she passed
away. Well, now, how'd she get so... You're just roughnecks, aren't you?
That's right.
Well, how'd she get so... She got that nice touch.
Well, I don't know, but she just... You know, got into it and got the magnum of the sociability of the class that she had. I reckon that's the way she, got it. Well, my mother was a little that way.
I always felt, when I was around her, I always felt like a runner, you know.
That's right. Well, but she's a wonderful person. Now, she's the only sister, and she helped me out a good deal, helping me in the correspondent and writing and all. And when she got on with that, she says, United Education says, they're giving me a job here, bookkeeper of this water department here. And college was the head man, brother-in-law, and said, I don't know where I'm doing it or not. I said, listen here, you're talking just like our older brother, confident about. He didn't think he could do a certain job down at the shipyard. When the other brother, a little older than I am, got me the job in the shipyard. I said, I didn't doubt, in other words, I knew a lot of things I couldn't do, but I felt like I could do a little everything. That's what the Tobin University says. They tell me that you're a jack of all trades. I said, well, you might have heard that, but they didn't finish the sentence. He looked at me kind of funny and said, what do you mean? I said, well, a master of none. Because there's always somebody to do a job better than I can, and somebody to do a job better than you can do, see?
Yeah.
That's
now,
the way I look at it.
Let me tell you, I didn't quite get that straight a while ago. When you was growing up, your daddy had a lot of land?
Well, no, we rented. My daddy only got 133 acres.
Yeah.
I bought it from the state and just got it paid for last year.
Yeah.
My sister was in the thing and she kept the books.
Yeah.
And they wanted to sell it to some of these horse people. And no doubt, you know, we could sold the land, in other words, without the trouble, and that's what some of them wanted to do. But in the family, me coming back and looking after them and being a caretaker of them and helping them out all these years, well, it's a...
That ought to be hot enough.
Yeah, I'm going to heat it just a little bit. I talk a lot and I drink a lot of coffee. But
how did you get into all them things? You learned to farm when you was growing up.
That's right. And after I stayed to farm and I went and went to school and finished school, my daddy went too and I paid my way too with vegetables, peddling at the chain store. And I worked on Friday and Saturday at A&P and I was a boy and I hated that inventory time at A&P. You have to take that and count every can and every doggone thing in it and keep a record of it. You want to get the inventory straight. I would once a month, but you couldn't get out, but I wanted to, in other words, but at the time, I had to work. I couldn't tell them like I did Miss Christian then, because I didn't have no money. I'd taken all my money to go to school. My daddy had it. Didn't have, you know, lots of money. Like you said, we raised up kind of in a rough way.
Well, were you living at home? Or
yes, sir. I was living at home.
And working.
That's right.
And
one year, in other words, well, after that, why, I stayed one year with Bertha. That was in when they had the storm.
In McNovie?
Yeah. She had a big house there, and they, you know, finally, but they had plenty of room, and they gave me a room, and I stayed with her.
Yeah.
In other words. But then my brother next to me, he and his wife came and stayed there. He got without a job. One is retired now, sold out his business, in other words, and wasn't satisfied and went back to work. Now, I tell him, I didn't blame him, in other words. The children were all out and married and gone, and his wife's sister's husband is a dealer in this General Motors in Massachusetts. And he drives a car, a Pontiac. He used that Pontiac Bonneville for 2 years, then they carried in that auction North St. Pete, and you get the cash money value of that car, regardless of the tire, how it looks, anything. You get what it's worth. He don't trade it in or nothing. And he caught the ride up there a time or two in the airplane, he and his oldest boy working for Florida Power Company. And they drove the car back, cost them $150 for two of them to go to Massachusetts. But they drive the car back. But they save you $1,900 on that automobile. And this, he got a new one now. He just bought, you know, this last year. He went back with them, you know, after they're down for the holidays at Christmas time. Well, that kid is married too, his wife's sister's husband. He's 3 years old now. You know, but he retired when he was 62. He got enough of this unionized work, in other words, the men working for him. Now you're telling me, you're speaking about the jack of all trades that went down there to do a little fish gigging. And when a mullet would be bedding, you know, and be laying, you know, twos, you know, in the beds, and you just ease over with a good light, in other words, and pop that steel to them, you couldn't make up your mind which one to kill, whether to kill a male or a female. But he said, pop it to them. He said, you can't get but one, just get one of them, pop it. He said, there'll be some more. But I was had my mind on, you know, I'd like to have two gigs. I got both of them one time. You know, mullet laying there 3 to 4 pounds, in other words.
Yeah.
And we got down there one weekend, and I told him, I said, I'm off, and I said, I want to get the mullet kid back and put in the freezer. My sister-in-law wants some. He said, well, we'll try it. But he said, you know, I'm having trouble with the union man. He says, we got a job over here on this bayfront where they pump that sand out and build a $20,000 or $40,000 home on that sand. And his job was, he's in the Chrysler air temp, air conditioning, heating department.
Yeah.
And you have all that duct, you know, what it's supposed to put in the wall, whether it's Celotex or plyboard or plaster or whatnot, you got to get that stuff in. You can't work in the attic, you know, the light. You put it in before they get all that done. And he says, I believe we can get to it by that time. Says they should have finished it. I'm going to put a bid on it. And them boys, you know, what they wanted, the money, that union wage, and not doing the work, punch the clock and going hide. Well, it's still going on now, like university, though. That job really got, he worked about 4 hours, but he get paid for 7 or 8. He get paid for 8. He got that 7.
Yeah.
I'm telling you the truth now. I know it. He might tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's a little walking, and you got to know what you're doing, you know, about that detective, kind of detective job, in other words.
Yeah.
But that's the way the union men, but he bid on no job, and they got to work, you know, comps or something. So he said, they come over and say, I think we'll get to by noon, and we'll get the batteries charged up and get the equipment all ready and get the gig sharp, and we'll get ready to go out, you know, about dark. I told him, all right, but talking about jack of all trades, and I looked at it, I said, we'd know in the world we have to cover that stuff with that duct, you know, and, you know, about 3 hours, at 9 o'clock, and we got all assembled together and got it on the service truck, you know, that he had. And got over there with a machine, you know, that stapling machine, you know, where you pull that stuff around, that rock wood, you know, and insulate that duct. It was already up. Right? That's the job we had to do. But a good side building, you know, big as this here, I said to myself, then we'll never get to it. But I said, I'll help him out. He's a brother, and he's in a tight. They wanted to have it finished this weekend with a plaster and all, go ahead and finish it. So we went like a summer gun, he and I both. And he lamented the fact a time or two, it says, you better work them than some of the men that I've got, paying a union wage, about $3.50 an hour. And I said, you're doing all right. Well, I wasn't used to it, but it's like, you know, taking a hammer nail, you know, driving or being a carpenter or something or other. I worked that neighbor of mine out there yesterday. Well, he says, I'm going to pay you the same as I did this regular carpenter. I said, well, I said, I get a lot of favors out of you, GP. I said, I won't charge you that much. Yeah, he said, I want you to have it. It's worth it. You'd work on Saturday, in other words, and we have to work a little time. He made the job, but I teased him, though, that he's the same age I am. You know him, GP Lightner?
Yeah.
You heard of him,
I think. You were working with him yesterday?
Yeah.
Out of his place?
No, we were working over after the man gave him this building to tear it down and move to the home, you know, where the man going to give him.
Oh.
He built him a $70,000 home over there and going to give it to him. Done made him a deed for it and all with 80 acres of land. In other words, he just might as well hand him a gift, $100,000, for the land and the house. You haven't heard that?
No.
And he donated the university all the land experiment purpose, and he says that your boss man that I work for, Dr. Cunha, Dr. Hunchin, Dr. Wallach, and one or two other men, says they want to rob that old man while he's living. I said, what you mean, GP? Says they want 40 acres of land down there that we bought from Reginald Johnson, paid $550 an acre for it. And he says they want the 40 acres and want the Mr. Benson to block it off in 5-acre block with fences where they experimental plot. And he says they figured, no, it cost $150,000 more timber donated. And he done give them land at his desk. Now, it hasn't come out yet, but I imagine it'll wait for it to come out in the paper. It's the largest grant that's been given to the state of Florida. That's the reason he decided he'd pick GP up, because GP is a kind of a guardian. He's not what he looks after. You know, I reckon what you call a man that could help him, you know, if something got wrong with him.
Well, he's pretty good at that, isn't he?
Yeah, GP's good. But I told him, I said, he said, I thought we'd tear it down by noon. And he had another carpenter beside me. I don't class to be a carpenter. I'm a plumber. You know, it's the jack of all trades, master none, but I'm going to do some of it. And we had to take all that tin off, you know, and all that tube of sick, you know, sheet, in other words, and I had the purling and the rafter, all their homemade, in other words, and I had to take them down, and you know, let the rope, you know, and them turn it over, and the laborer, in other words, take them, pile them out in a pile, see? And he's going to move them over to a new house, a hay shed, and a utility to keep a little stuff in, you know, at that new home. And the old man had given this pop to the boys' scouts,
yeah.
And they stole a pump, so that's off of the road, Johnny, you know, this Central Road. You can see it, you know, next to prayer. But they stole a pump and everything, and another building, and he says, I might be able to get that, but you look at it, and if you want it, you can have it. Says, will you tear it down for it to move it? I said, I'll look at it. So I told a carpenter, Mr. McElroy, out there. I said, just go by and look at it. So we pulled by and stopped and looked at it. And Deepy said he wants all the hardware, the spigots and all. It's a latrine, you know, just like the government latrine. They got a building with a shed over it and everything. And it's made out of exterior plywood, and the sheets, you know, they cost, I reckon, about $6 a sheet now. I don't know exactly what it cost. And I worked with the Smith, if they're in the construction business, with these other Smiths, you know, J.B. and, you know them, don't you? Well, the man that I worked for was when I couldn't go back to university and told Willie that I didn't want that job because it didn't pay as much money. Now, while I was working with Cunha, I started off, you know, pretty well on top. My job was, my salary was $4 an hour, and you couldn't work with 40 hours a week. Well, that's $160 a week, but you had to drive back and forth. And I got the other boy out there, Ken, to me. We ride with back and forth, ride my vehicle a week and ride his.
Yeah.
And they got, you know, SNU, you know, we're doing something. Well, we didn't have to go by out there and punch the clock, you know, like Willie and them do. We went right straight to the job, and we more or less our own boss man. We'd knock off when we wanted to. And we didn't work too hard, but Dr. Cunha did say that you've done more in these 3 months, and it's been done in 3 years. And I left up there. I started on several jobs that wasn't completed. And that foreman that's out there, he can't do anything because he got too many boss men on him.
Yeah.
And Dr. Hinchey come along and gave me a board, you know, to use be a strap form for him. Is he's taking animal science, you know, at university, and his folks lives in South America.
Yeah.
Spanish boy. And he said, find something for him to do. And he's, folks, he got plenty of money. They own 11,000 acres of land, and I don't know how many, several thousand head of, you know, Bremont crossbred cattle.
Yeah.
And he's going to take over after folks, you know, pass it on. And he's up here, you know, get the schooling in animal science. And so the boy, he seemed to like me, all right, because I didn't push him, I didn't rush him, no, wasn't, didn't give him anything he couldn't do, and showed him how to do it.
Yeah.
And it was summertime then, July. We were saving that silage, and we had several different jobs going on. We were fixing fence, fixing corral, and he gave me that job. He asked a colored man, so Dr. Hinchett did now. Dr. Cunha didn't say any more to me about it, but Hinchett came out once in a while. And he said, Ernest, a nigger named Ernest Bazell, he's been now 11 or 12 years, but you see some smart nigger. He said, can Mr. Smith shoot this lion here and put this lion rock that's 80 feet long and 30 feet wide and get it with a little drop of one where the water run off, you know, and we're going to put a shed over it and going to put a lane through it to go through the feed truck, molasses, and what all this is. How fast? You and I can't afford to do it, but just taxpayer money, we're doing it. And I said, Ernie, what are you telling me? He said, I looked at him and I said, Doc, he called them all Doc. You know. He said, Doc, Mr. Smith can do anything. But when the probation period is out, then they said they'd have to wait until, October, August or October, for to see if they had any more money appropriated, you know, in the drawer. You know what I mean? It's politics. I reckon you understand. I'm telling you, but that's the way it worked. And we'll see, you know, if we can use you. Well, they got it by. Then they called me, in other words. But I done committed myself up in with Smith. He wanted to make 350 acres of corn for him. And he wanted me to help, you know, odd time with the construction work with a big gun. He built with them Smith boys, put $40,000 to $50,000 in a corral and a big steel structure building that came in there on trucks. And we put that thing together with electric drill, you know, and bolts. That heavy gauge 4-foot sheet of metal, you know, 20 feet long. And we put a, you know, a number four rig, you know, like this, and on metal beams, in other words, and I had to drill and bore hole and put those screws in there with a drill, in other words, and you had to be careful. That's when the bear like to call me in it. J.B. Smith, I looked at him to fall off of that thing. J.B. is a little older than I am. We went to school together. And I told him, he better get down and get the mare, that heat from that tin.
Yeah.
And I said, you and I both get a little cold. No, you can get the sunstroke, because we'll never be worth a dime the more the rest of our lives. I said, we have to knock off.
Where'd y'all go to school together?
Here at Reddick.
Yeah.
Reddick. He didn't go in the university.
Well, now, Cedric and them, they're putting in money over there.
Well, he got some money, in other words, from his... the daddy, you know, the state, and they get the one little money, they can sell $100,000 worth of timber, in other words. They just sold, you know, about $100,000 out there to this Georgia Pacific. And I sold all my timber. It's going to say, that ad told me that they willing me to have it. After I put the building, I put the big shed, and I repaired the barns and did this and other, and I looked after my mother and daddy, and mother got sick. Why, you know how the old story is, why they say, well, it says, we don't have the money now. They live in that house, see.
Yeah.
But every one of them, except maybe one, financially better shape than I was. I didn't have too much money, but I never had married, and I had a little bit of money in the bank, and they wanted me to go and pay the $1,100, you know, nurse's home down in Ocala where my mother was. Well, I paid it, and they said they'd pay me back, you know, at the end of the year when they got the settlement, men they're working for, they'd get that little, you know, bonus, and they'd pay me back, you know, for mine. Five of them, there's five boys and one girl, which is five of them to pay me back. Well, they did, in other words, but I had my money tied up, in other words, the whole year, and I didn't charge them any interest, and then it went over with, that's when one or two of them, you know what I mean. Now, I'm not talking about kinfolk, but the sister-in-law was the main one, you know what I mean, to show you know how women are, that may be one of the reasons I never have gotten me one. Is they the one, you know, want to get that money, in other words, and spend it, I reckon. It's a sailor farm, and I'd raise there and brought up there. I quit my job, you know, and I was making good money down at the championship building, and I quit that and went into the radio work, worked 3 years, and Dick was in the building business with his uncle, see?
Yeah.
And they wanted to come work for them, but I didn't particularly like the inside work of this construction, all kind of nail roofing and whatnot to have, you know, fence wire and all that. And I said, I like radio. So I went in the radio. Well, taking an apprenticeship and both are taking an apprenticeship for 6 months. It's a little nothing, in other words. But my brother, oldest brother, he had his own home and he'd done a little construction work. I helped him build an addition, a kitchen, and a dining room on the back. Then he went on and bought a new stove, you know, and a new refrigerator, you know, put in the back. Then finally, in other words, his wife liked the sewing of it, and I bought one of your new electric sewing machines. They used no more foot pedal thing, you know. And I bought one of them. Well, it cost a little, something over $100, you know. not, it wasn't the one you set on the table, it was the whole thing all together. In other words, the double spool or name, the singer, I believe the name of it. Because they wasn't charging me any board. Of course, I'd spend, you know, every once in a while, I'd buy, you know, meat or buy special, and I'd come home, you know, I'd carry a little meat or vegetable stuff back from the house. And I felt like, you know, help them out, but it didn't cost me too much that plenty. But the 6 months, by then, they put me on the payroll. Well, back in then, that was pretty good money. They started me off, you know, about $50 a week. Back then, you know, that was pretty good money.
That's good money.
Because then, you know what we were paying with the chili? We were paying them a dollar, I think a dollar and a half a day.
Yeah.
My daddy, he was working with daddy. Dollar, a dollar and a half a day. And funny, well, my brother lived in that house we lived in. And Willie, he put this beaver board, you know, in there after he married. And one of his children, the oldest girl, was born in that house. But Willie Chitty's oldest daughter, but Barbara, was born in that house. Yeah, and my daddy thought the world and all of them, in other words. But Willie's wife is a cousin of mine on my daddy's side.
Right.
And Maxie is a cousin of mine, the mixing that you're talking to. In fact, I'm kin to everybody out there just about except the Zet Rowell and the Lightness.
Yeah.
I'm not kin to them. But Willie's a good old boy, and his wife's a good girl, too. But he stayed my daddy until he went in the service, and his wife stayed right on now. Then she decided she'd get her job, and she got a job at the bum plant. And she went on and got a job, and Willie come out, he started the bum plant over at Archer.
Oh.
Willie did.
Oh.
So my daddy, you know, got to the age where he wasn't going to farm anymore, and he had one or two darkies still with him,
yeah.
And he cut down his operation to farm, see.
Oh.
And
but before Willie went to service, he was working for your daddy?
Yes, sir. Then he come back, why then he was worked on, but my daddy got out, and his wife, you know.
Well,
like,
now, what all did he do for your daddy?
Well, he plowed a mule. He had a special mule. He plowed, you know, and done a little odds and ends, a little carting and work and repairing and this, that, and other, whatever Dad wanted him to do.
Could he do a little mechanical work then?
Yeah. Pretty good mechanical work, you know, working on a tractor. We had an old Fortune tractor then.
Yeah.
And my dad didn't drive it. I had a darker driving. And my brother, he drove it some, you see. But Willie, you know, he's always been kind of inclined to be a kind of like I am, plunk in, do a little bit of everything. He can still, you know, do about everything you name. Willie can do it.
Yeah.
Well,
now, this first job he's had a long time, isn't it?
Yeah. He's at the school bus. He drove the school bus, you know, for a number of years.
Yes, but that is.
But this here job, that morning I went by before I went to work, I told him, I said, Willie, I says, considering everything, I says, the money isn't too good. It wasn't nothing like, you know, $4 an hour. It was near $2 an hour. I never asked him what he'd get, but I figured it'd be close to $2 an hour. But he's working with his brother up in Gambling. I think his brother was paying him about 2.5 hours, see.
Yeah. Martin.
Martin. He'd work a while, and if he didn't feel like working, he wouldn't work. And I said, this job is opening if you want to, and your experience of the state was still applying for 7 years.
Hey.
You go. I'm about to talk to husband and dad.
I just prayed that
Faith? Let me tell you.
You
know, I have eaten all day. Good. Don't you have a little something you can
I'm gonna fry you all a piece of ham. Ain't country ham, but I'm gonna cook you up some. How about it?
I had chicken and green, you know what? I didn't eat until about 1 o'clock.
Oh, didn't you?
No, I'm real careful in these. I got to go by making open here direct then and be back to church at it's around 7 o'clock, and that's when I told him I'd come on the truck, but the time, you see what I mean, it flies,
yeah.
And I told him I'd just come on, follow him on in, he said, his wife is with
me,
and I said, I'm going back by making open, then if I don't get anything to eat until I get back, well, I still got plenty, I got fried chicken, and I got
bacon, won't be hurting, will you?
And it won't be hurting, in other words, but if you want
something, where did Willie pick up that electrical work?
I guess Willie picked that up, I reckon, when he was a foundry over on it, with a fellow by the name of Smith at that foundry. They'd done some wiring electrical work over there.
Yeah.
And just gradually, you know, just picked it up, you know, just
a little time.
Yeah, a little time.
Well, I heard him say he'd rather do that than anything
yeah.
other.
Well, that's the easiest work there is. I got nieces helping him make it up. That's what he said he'd rather do. He'd do carpeting, plumbing, and all, but he'd like the electrical work. But
yeah.
As I told him, reading you like the work would work. They pay you a little high. They pay you about $6 an hour.
Yeah.
And they're going to say about my brother, in other words, he kept on and he said, they're going to run out of money. This Social Security, say they're in the red. I'm going to get mine at 6-2, and you get 6-2, you might as well get yours. And
that's
he sold
right.
out. He sold his business for $100,000, and he owed a little bit for the addition on his house, about $8,000, a Florida room and a recreation room. You know, he had a nice home there, stuff, right at the edge of Dunedin here and Clearwater's here. Well, in fact, you start there, you know, at on 19, you got just about a whole complete town all the way down to Indian Rocks, you know, fam on down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting worse and worse. You know, every few years, sometime miss a year or two before going down there and be surprised how the country's building up. But he's right there on the line between Dunedin, the city limits of Dunedin and Clearwater. And he's on Cove Road, and Cove Road is a, you know, dividing line of the city limits of the two towns.
Yeah.
And his business was right on out next to 19. Smith and Hackney. He and his boss man went in together. In other words, when he went in, while the same way he bought the car, he borrowed, I think, $5,000 or $10,000 from him because he had to save him money. They live in and spend it, and he raised a family. He got three children. And he come and asked me a little money. And he said, I went to school with him, and O.D. Huff is about the same age.
Stick that on long enough throw up on the
face. Mr. Christian, in other words, while he's kind of jubilant about it, he's working on, he's in the $1 million class,
yeah.
W. Christian.
Yeah.
And he's a little hesitant. And my brother was one of those types, he wasn't going to beg nobody for a little bit of loan or money. And he said, I'm getting a little money on my pocket and everything, but I got to work up about $20,000 to go in this thing with this boy. And he said, we've been working with company, and we know we can make a go of it. He's determined. Now, he's a little different, my older brother, didn't have confidence like my sister about the bookkeeping. I said, Buster, I said, you didn't go but 10th grade, but I says, with the help, you're not, you know, more than, you're not dumb. You can handle that little single entry bookkeeping is all it is. General, single, you know what I'm talking about. If you had a little school, and I guess you have too. You've had a high school anyhow, big college. I don't know how much you've had. But I said, you can get it. Don't be like Glenn. Now he's afraid he couldn't go to the shipyard and go to work. And he was a mechanic. He's an automobile mechanic. He went to the Sweeney Automobile School in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah.
Went through that school. He and one of the neighbors.
Yeah.
Finished, he worked for one company, the Ford company in Tampa, 17 years. And they got on that scale, and I was down there with him. The reason I had to help him out when I was living with him, they were on a commission. They weren't getting a salary, they were getting a commission. And he got where he wouldn't make $17 to $20 a week. And I wouldn't pay the, you know, light bill and utility, in other words. Well, I was making about $40, $50 a week. I didn't mind helping him out.
Well,
about half all I want. Thanks. About a half. Thanks. But the brother, in other words, he got a chance to go back in the blueprint office now, like he was at the shipyard after him going in business. And I said, I don't blame him. And his salary was $9 an hour. Isn't that something? And you know what I told him? I said, the President of the United States ain't worth $9 an hour. I said, I wasn't worth $4 an hour at the university. But them people getting the money, some of them, you know, an electrician, they would get $6 an hour. It's unionized work. But I earned, you know, what I did and what I'm doing, and I'd like to go back up there to.
Well, how'd you ever get up there in the first place? You didn't need
I met, and I told Willie, this girl that I went to school with, she's always been real close to me, like a sister. I've always got along with the teenagers, still do, and the girls too, although I never did marry one. I like to have it. I was going to university, and I wanted to wait until I got my schooling before we got married. But to test her, you know, whether she really loved me or not, you know what I'm talking about, real love, you know. I'm not talking about the puppy love, you know, loving somebody and kissing them. I'm talking about the love that stays with you all your lifetime.
Yeah.
That's what I raised up to believe in, like my mother and father, and like yours was.
And she
didn't wait for me. And 2 months after she said we'd start going with other companions, she married.
Yeah.
And I hadn't finished school. I didn't have no money, I'm telling you the truth. My
well,
daddy didn't have money.
You see,
but this other girl, you know, a cousin of this one, that one that I thought a lot of, and the brother liked her, and she married, you know. The brother didn't get her. He went on and got another girl, you know, in Mekinopi, the depot agent's daughter. And I dated her and been with her, and I says, I don't, he come out, you know, we'd always close, you know, and we slept together, and had the month together, and we had this together, in other words, we'd always close. And he says, I'm going to get married. I knew he was going to marry. He told me. He was the first one he told. I said, who is it going to be, Josephine or Pearl? He said, no, Carrie Bell. I knew it was going to be Carrie Bell. And I looked at him, just the brother of another, and you know, I told him, I said, you two are not suited for each other. And he looked at me, you know, kind of odd, you know, like I didn't know what in the world I was talking about.
Yeah.
And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, when you get married, you're supposed to have things in common, though. And I said, that girl that I dated, I've been with her. And I said, I've done sized her up. And I said, she needs to marry a doctor, a lawyer, somebody where she can have a nice automobile and have money and spend money and have a big time. But he couldn't see it, because he was just like I was. He just worked, you know, ordinarily, you know, and he found it out. But he waited until too late before we got the divorce. He had three children before he got the divorce. But he got one now out of this world, his last wife. And just, well, she's, I'm telling you a minute ago, she's really the best sister-in-law that I got. She'll do more for me.
Yeah.
I can borrow money for her and get that big Chrysler automobile she got anytime
yeah.
I want to use it.
Yeah.
I don't need no car. All
yeah.
I need is a pickup. I sold my both of my cars.
Yeah.
I had a Ford, in other words, and it'll say, I got you out of the car business way back down the middle of the
road. Costing you money.
Cost me money. All I need to pick up.
Oh, they do cost money.
They do.
And now, you don't do your own car work.
No, sir. No. I usually has, well, my brother-in-law used to do it. No, it was in his business before he went out. Then this Birch boy, his colleague gave him a chance to buy that business and make it open, and he didn't have the money. And this other man at working mill, he bought that out. And Birch moved down there, but he does a little work for me and also for Caesar Jr. But the man that does my car work now is down at old Smith's Garage. That fellow working with him for a while, that car was mistreating. His name was Fred something. And he's up there in the oak tree. Now he overhauled his pickup of mine. I was going to trade it, but Willie traded, and he got him a new one. I said, Willie, I want a bigger diesel tractor. And I said, this old truck can run as good as a new one, just like your old one does. He still kept his old one, bought him a new one. And I says, $3,000, and I could sell mine for like Willie could, you know, about $400. I could get $300 or $400 for this pickup, because it's got good tires on it, and nothing wrong with it. But I said, that $3,000, I said, I just got through paying these ads, $5,000 a piece, you know, a year, in other words, for 5 years. Now, it cost me $25,000 to buy them out here, which they're reasonable. And some of them even said, you know what, since I've done all the improvement, this, that, and other. Well, all the land isn't in cultivation anyway. It's only 50 acres in cultivation now where I am. But I didn't pay attention to that. We got in a conflict like we were talking here, in other words. And I said, I'm a poor boy. And I says, I don't want you to give me anything. I never had anything given to me. Only thing that I ever had to... My granddaddy that I named after, my first name is Everett and his was Edwin, but our middle name is Levy and his was Levy. And he's the one that, you know, gave me a lot of advice about heated, you know, all through the years, you know how it is. You'll never forget some of the good things that your people have done for you. And I says, I don't expect anybody to hand me anything out on a platter, in other words. I said, I will be wet for what I've had, but I said, I'm willing to pay a normal fee if you get together and make me a price. At that time, which I paid the price, $150 an acre. At that time, you know what, that was, I got paid for it last year. That's 7 years ago. That's before this, you know, it started going up, see. But now then, you know, the same land, you know what, I could sell some of that land for $500-$600 an acre. And I tell him, Willie, this morning, I said, you want to sell 100 acres of your land? Got a man in game with it, it'll give you $600 an acre for it.
What?
Yeah. You want to sell some of yours? I'll send your man to buy some of it.
$600 an acre?
Yes, ma'am. That's right. He'll pay you six. He wants it in this neighborhood because he knows this land will make grass and it'll do something, and they got the money. And he's got the money.
Yeah. Well, now, how much have you got in that then, Eric?
What's that stuff? Well, I got it paid for, I know, and now then I got to get on my feet again, and what I'm planning on doing, I told them, but the they wanted me to build a new home. See, my house is a lot older than this one here. You saw it the other day.
It ain't as old as this.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, it's older than this one, I imagine. Let's see, my house is, it's right at 70 years old. Is this house 70 years old?
Mm-hmm. It's older than that.
It is. But mine is right, ours is right at 70 years old.
You know, I can't understand. I can't understand how this house is preserved like it is. It built 1890.
It was.
This fellow Barron built it, who used to have a store over there. Something another. Miss P.K.
Yeah.
Told me about
okay.
it. She's the one that knew about it, and she said she was over here playing when they put the rafters up, And she told me how old she was, you know,
not
at that time.
Yeah.
And she hadn't been in this country long, you see.
That's right.
And the thing is preserved, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Well,
nothing has gone down.
Well, that's
you know,
good lumber and not in the mine, in other words. But,
well, now yours is different lumber.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
See, this is, well, it's got this siding on it, too, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's got the larger side.
But now this inside here.
Inside
see,
it. Well, I was done later. Now, I got the regular old ceiling in mine, in other words. Then we repainted them and used to have the family reunions before my granddaddy died. My Bertha, in other words, she was always, like you said, she's more or less on the dainty side. And she says, I'll get the paint if you paint it. I said, you get the paint. So she got the paint, and I painted the main body of the house, that is the living room, the, you know, front area, in other words.
Yeah.
And I painted the kitchen. Now, what? Well, that's where the activity's gonna be. But we had the dinner out on the ground, you know. When they had, you know, used to have, well, I think usually have, you know, 1,000-1,500 people, and the relatives and friends of the community, you know, an annual reunion.
Yeah.
And Bertha, you know, what? Well, she was, you know, like you say, she probably had as much money as the brother, you know, that's in Clearwater. That's the two. And Tom was in pretty good shape. The one that had the business in Jacksonville and fixing the tire.
Yeah.
It was in business up there with Sergeant McGee and Martin Seat Company. But Tom had a good salary. He went to business college, and he's one of the co-partners. Well, he was kind of up, you know. Well, he had a little money, but he didn't, you know, think about it because he had his family to look after. But Bertha right here, where she'd look after mother and daddy. And that's one thing I'm saying about my brother, O'Collar, if you won't hear anybody say anything bad about him. It'll all be good. And you take a man like that, you know, he got a reputation of a character and integrity, in other words, of being somebody. And that's
you
what
know.
I say about my brother-in-law. I borrowed $200 and $400 from him getting a tank and paying back, you know, in 30 or 60 days. He wouldn't charge no interest or nothing, because he had it, and
now,
he still got the money.
Well, he's got these little things on the side.
That's right, yeah. Like this job he got. He said, I just want something to occupy my mind, because I'm lost. Yeah, like my older brother, and also the one that sold out for $100,000, paid his debts and had a little money. Went up there and bought him one of them bottle top $4,000 car. It cost him about $3,300 by Bonneville vinyl top, two-door sport, hard top.
Yeah.
And I said, why'd you get such a sport car for? You and your wife getting up in age. She's about 62 and he's 63.
Yeah.
He said, well, all the family going out, well, we going to our second childhood, he said. Said, come on, take a ride with me. Said, you drive. I said, all right, I'll drive this thing. So I drove it. It's one of them high-powered, you know, with a Pontiac, you know, they're a nice automobile.
Collis had these little enterprises. Now, don't you know he had that standard station
there
he put up down
that's
there.
Right.
And old Johanna run that as long as he lived.
That's right.
And
his wife and cousin of mine, too, Agnes.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's a cousin.
And that was, they both made money out of that.
That's right. Sure they did. Yeah, he got $200 a month, you know, for that.
Yeah.
Then he went on and had two houses he'd renting. He'd get money out of that.
Yeah.
In fact, like somebody said, he had about $1,000 a month coming in.
Yeah.
And the children all out, and they, you know, put it successfully, you know, within business, making a little bit of money, every one of them.
Yeah.
You take two of them girls, they mad, you know, in the upper bracket.
Yeah.
If one of them boys know it, he drives a Lincoln Continental. You know what I mean? Anybody drives a Lincoln Continental, you know it. His salary is about $20,000 to $25,000 a year.
Yeah.
And they got a home that's out of this world, right there in Riverside, you know, where it's out of the world. And the other boy, the baby girl, Norma Jean, the one I call Cootabunk, she married a bastard boy, and he had pretty well to do.
Yeah.
And he made his money, you know, illegally off a bar, in other words, whiskey business, way out there at on Lake Shore. It's kind of outside, but he'd done a business, in other words. I tell you, some nights that boy said he'd make $1,000 one night.
Yeah.
Well, most of that would be profit. In other words, you'd take half of it. That ain't bad.
Yeah.
$500 profit one night. That ain't bad money.
Yeah.
So they're in good shape. Buster didn't have to do anything to help them.
Yeah.
And the other boy, while he was going to be an automobile mechanic, but he wound up, you know, and he wanted to be an automobile mechanic, or he wanted a dealership. General Motor dealership. Well, then he wound up knowing to take me the aptitude test and finish his schooling. That's a baby boy. Same age as Dr. Daly. You know Dr. Daly, Jimmy?
Everybody I know goes to him.
Yeah. Well, you know him then. Well, this youngest nephew, my sister's baby boy, the same age as Daly. They got together and come out there and ride the mule, and my daddy would come fishing. And he wound up, he's an office man and the head of rock wool insulation, where they blow all this stuff, you know, where they make it.
Yeah.
But he's in the office. And he's got a good job. And his wife working too, and his wife's mother's still working.
Yeah.
She works for a big Bank of Life insurance company out here in Texas. And they living in Temple, Texas. And he has his own home. And he told me when he home him, when Bertha passed away, he came and his wife wanted to come and he talked to her and they had an argument that collar. In other words, the phone, you know, got out of order and his older girl emotionally got upset. In other words, and I said, I see, you know, that her health wasn't too good. That's Marguerite. Marguerite's she's like 50 years old. That's Bertha's oldest girl. And Ralph is the oldest one that's in the machine shop business. And he bought this place here down on the highway. Ralph didn't want his daddy to get to him. He bought it.
Oh.
Now, and he's letting the company's hand it now, but he owned it.
Oh.
But probably decided to do that after he married this young woman. He ain't married again.
Mm-hmm.
And to get, you know, kind of settled on that, I was arguing in that. I told him, I said, well, that thing will happen, in other words. But some of them said she told the lad and hooked him, in other words, and that's what she wanted, you know, the income that he had. And she's going to work in part-time and like to spend money and go and all, but that's his problem, though. We can't, that I told the girl, I said, we can't do anything about it. Well, the one in Jackson, well, they don't know much about it. But the one daughter in town, why, she sees, you know, what's going on. But she helped the daddy read the meters and helped him all she can because I said, he's been good to you. That's Betty. You know Betty.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, you should look at it that way. And
oh,
forgive
yeah.
the woman, I said.
Yeah.
Forgive the woman, though, well, that's his problem, though, with him getting involved, you know, in that way.
Yeah.
But I knew his wife, in other words, been knowing her for ever since she's a girl, knew her sister too. Her sister was a school teacher. And she passed away, but this girl, I hadn't seen her in about 17 years, so she said, since I'd seen her. But I still knew her when he married. But Carter, in other words, he's a good man. He's into all different things, in other words. And today, you know, if I want to stop by there and tell him I wanted $400 or $500, he'd let me have it.
You know, he and I got the same barber.
Yeah. Barber.
Uh-huh.
Must be Weaver.
Yeah!
You know, well, don't tell anybody where somebody get a hold of it. Go back, he's been there a year and there, and he cut mine once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, he cut mine once in a while, and I go to Wilson once in a while.
Yeah. Hey, I've got one or two little points I want to bring up before we leave now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go to it. Right? I thought we'd go back outside. I want to look at them big fat cows and
at the end of Channel 1 Right and a continuation of the visit with Everett Smith this Sunday, late the 28th of March 1971, this phenomenal visit with Everett Smith. This is the end of Channel 1 Right, the visit with Everett Smith this late Sunday afternoon, the 28th of March 1971. The visit with Everett Smith, the first visit with Everett Smith. The first visit with Everett Smith, Channel 1 Right, the beginning of the visit with Everett Smith, Channel 1 Right. The late Sunday afternoon, the 28th of March,